We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Verse 56, Dhruva Maharaj leaves home. Labdha dravya mayim marcham, labdha dravya mayim marcham, shityam vari shuvar chayet,
shityam vari shuvar chayet.
Abhitatma muni shanta,
abhitatma muni shanta,
yatavan mitavan yabuk,
yatavan mitavan yabuk,
labdva dravyamayim archam,
labdva dravyamayim archam,
chit yam va dishuvar chayet,
chit yam va dishuvar chayet,
abhitatma muni shanta,
abhitatma muni shanta,
yatavan mitavan yabuk,
yatavan mitavan yabuk,
labdva
dravyamayim archam,
labdva dravyamayim archam,
Shityam vadishuvar chayet,
Shityam vadishuvar chayet,
Abhritatma muni shanto,
Abhritatma muni shanto,
Yatavan mitavan yabhuk,
Yatavan mitavan yabhuk. Anybody else?
Labdva dravya mayim archam,
labdva dravya mayim archam,
shityam vari suvarchayet,
shityam vari suvarchayet,
abhritatma muni shanto,
abhritatma muni shanto,
yatavan mitavan yabhuk,
yatavan mitavan yabhuk.
Labdha
dravya mayim archam,
shityam
vadi suvarchayet,
abhritatma muni shanto,
abhritatma muni shanto,
yatavan mitavan yabhuk,
yatavan mitavan yabhuk. Ladies?
Labdva dravya mayim archam,
labdva dravya mayim archam,
kshityam bha, kshityam bha, sorry, kshityam vadishu varchayet,
kshityam vadishu varchayet,
abhritatma muni shanto,
abhritatma muni shanto,
yatavani vanyabhuk, yatavan mitavan yabhuk,
yatavan mitavan yabhuk. Labdva,
labdva,
by getting,
by getting,
javyamayim,
javyamayim,
metaphysical elements,
metaphysical elements,
archam,
archam,
worshipable deity,
worshipable deity,
shiti,
shiti,
earth,
earth,
Ambu,
Ambu,
water,
water,
Adishu,
Adishu,
beginning with,
beginning with,
Va,
Va,
or,
or,
Archayet,
Archayet,
worship,
worship,
Abhita Atma,
Abhita Atma,
one who is fully self-controlled,
one who is fully self-controlled,
Muni,
Muni,
a great personality,
a great personality,
Shantaha,
Shantaha,
peacefully,
peacefully,
Yatavak,
Yatavak,
controlling the force of talking,
controlling the force of talking,
Mita,
Mita,
frugal,
frugal,
Vanyabhuk,
Vanyabhuk,
eating whatever is available in the forest,
eating whatever is available in the forest.
Translation: it is possible to worship a form of the Lord made of physical elements such as earth, water, pulp, wood, and metal. In the forest, one can make a form with no more than earth and water and worship him according to the above principles. A devotee who has full control over himself should be very sober and peaceful and must be satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest. Purport: it is essential for a devotee to worship the form of the Lord and not only meditate upon the form of the Lord within his mind, with the chanting of the mantra given by the spiritual master. The worship of the form must be present. The impersonalist takes unnecessary trouble to meditate upon or worship something impersonal, and the path is very precarious. We are not advised to follow the impersonalist way of meditating on or worshiping the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to worship a form made of earth and water, because in the jungle, if it is not possible to have a form made of metal, wood, or stone, the best process is to take earth mixed with water and make a form of the Lord and worship him. Devotees should not be anxious about cooking food. Whatever is available in the forest or in the city, among the fruit and vegetable groups, should be offered to the deity, and the devotee should be set aside eating that. He should not be anxious to have very palatable dishes. Of course, wherever it is possible, one should offer the deities the best foodstuffs, prepared within the category of fruits and vegetables, cooked or uncooked. The important factor is devotees should be regulated, mitabuk. That is one of the good qualifications of a devotee. He should not hanker to satisfy the tongue with a particular kind of foodstuff. He should be satisfied to eat whatever prasad is available by the grace of the Lord. Mukam karati vachalam bhangam lankayate girim yakipam tamam bande shi gurum tinatavanam om agyanati virandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshu militam yena tasamai shi gurave namaha. So in case you ever have a time when you're out in the forest, now you know what to do. It's not that you just sit there and eat and sleep. You also have to do deity worship out in the forest, according to Narada Muni here. No excuse. You may say, well, I'm not near the temple, but here it says, no, not only should you chant, you should also worship the form of the Lord. Not only the form in the mind, you should worship the form and make a form of the deity. As Prabhupada says in the purport, it is essential for a devotee to worship the form of the Lord and not only meditate upon the form of the Lord within his mind with the chanting of the mantra given by the spiritual master. The worship of the form must be present. So sometimes devotees think that, you know, chanting is enough. But actually, that's why Prabhupada introduced the deity worship, because with the chanting, you can do anytime, anywhere, no rules, regulations. But with the deity worship, there's rules and regulations. So then you have to be regulated too. And in this age of Kali, it is difficult to be regulated, for people to be regulated. Now, the form of the Lord here that Narada Muni is talking about is made of clay, earth and water. But we have seen in India, in Jagannath Puri, they have sand deities. Beautiful, beautiful deities of Jagannath and Jagannath Puri, made from sand on the beach. Beautiful. You can see up some of their photographs. And I've also seen an ice deity in the Himalayas, made of ice. So you can probably even make a snow deity up here if in the wintertime and worship that. So according to time, place, and circumstance, Narada Muni is explaining to Dhruva Maharaj. And Prabhupada is explaining to us in this purport, it sounds like he's talking about the city and the forest, they're almost equal. Like it's like a jungle to be in the city. He says, the devotee should not be anxious about cooking food. Whatever is available in the forest or in the city, among the fruit and vegetable groups, should be offered to the deity. And the devotee should be satisfied eating that. I know when Srila Prabhupada went to Russia in 1971, nothing was available practically except meat and milk. They had to stand in line for hours just to get some rice. He found some very cheap, crude rice. Now it's different. Now you can get everything. But in those days, you couldn't get anything to eat. They had little rice, and fruit was and vegetables were scarce. And so the day could also come when we have this problem. So then we'll have to listen to Narada Muni as to how we should cope with the situation in case there is no fruit and vegetables or there is a scarcity of food. So, of course, the main thing is not what you offer, but how you offer it. As Prabhupada often emphasized, bhaktya mam abhijanati, you know, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prachati. If you offer me a leaf, a fruit, water, then I will accept it, but it has to be with bhakti. So Sanatana Goswami was living in the forest of Vrindavan about 500 years ago, and he was he had no temple, so he was actually doing this, but he did have a deity, and so he hung his deity up in the tree, and his deity was Madan Mohan, and he was just offering some really dry chapatis. So his deity started complaining, Sanatana, you are bringing these dry chapatis and it's stale, you don't even give me a little salt, how can I eat this? So Sanatana Goswami said, this is how Prabhupada says, sir, where shall I go? Whatever I get, I offer you. Please accept. I cannot move. I'm an old man. You see, Prabhupada said, so Krishna had to eat that, these jai chapatis. Because the bhakta is offering, he cannot refuse. In Vrindavan, they make the dough into a ball and just throw it in the fire. So that's probably what he was doing, is just making it like this and throwing it in the fire and offering it. Sometimes they do that. So because the bhakta is offering, he cannot refuse. So Prabhupada said the real thing is bhakti, because what can we offer to Krishna? What is it do we have? Everything is his. What is the value of our things? The value is nothing. Everything belongs to Krishna. So the real thing is bhakti. Your feeling. Krishna, please take it. I have no qualification. I'm most rotten. I'm most fallen. But I brought this thing for you, so please accept. So Prabhupada said, don't be puffed up, always be careful, you're dealing with Krishna. He was talking to the devotees in L.A. And I remember also when we first went to India, the deity worship was very simple. The Radharas Bihari in Bombay, they were in a tent. And I remember one day it rained, and Harikesh Prabhu put his raincoat up above the deities so that they wouldn't get wet. It was very austere, not only for us, for the deities as well. It was very austere in the early days. It was like almost in the forest that we were worshipping the deities. And we didn't have any deity worship books or anything like that. And we were just taught, I mentioned, I think somebody asked me that question, we only had one mantra, and that was Govindamadi Purusham. The whole Govindamadi Purusham we sang when we were dressing, bathing, everything. That's all we knew, is that Govindamadi Purusham. And during Arti, we just sang with the rest of the devotees. We didn't know any mantras. It was more simple, but that's how it was in the beginning. And later on, it became more complex. So Prabhupada says here that the worship of the form must be present. The impersonalist takes unnecessary trouble to meditate upon or worship something impersonal, and the path is very precarious. We are not advised to follow the impersonalist way of meditating on or worshiping the Lord. So the two paths are, if you compare the two paths, the impersonal is very, very difficult. It's difficult because it's natural for us to think of a form since we have form. But if you try to meditate on something without form, then your mind is going to go to some form somewhere else. It's not going to stay there in that meditation. It's not going to be happy just to meditate on a flame of a candle or a spot on the wall, which is what they do, some of them. A flame, a candle, a spot, this or that. Your mind will not be satisfied. You can just try it sometime for fun and see how that meditation goes. Just try to make your mind blank and think of nothing. Not possible. So therefore, we accept the deity because there is a form there and that's very helpful. So when I was a pujari in Calcutta, there were three things that Prabhupada emphasized for us. That was that everything, the offering should be on time, everything should be on time, punctuality. Everything should be clean. And, of course, then the devotion. So one time we had a flood in Calcutta. The Ganga overflowed, 1978. And it was very difficult to maintain the deity worship. So we were, because for 2 weeks we had no water and no electricity. And the Ganga was there, but the water was very dirty. because they opened up all the sewers, all the holes, so that it would drain. But in the same time, the sewage was coming up, so you couldn't walk in the water. You couldn't use that water for anything. And if you walked in it, you'd probably get sick. So we had no running water, no electricity. So somebody down the road, they were bringing us 8 buckets of water per day. So as a pujari, I got one to take bath with. And we had one for the kitchen, or two maybe for the kitchen. And then the other ones for devotee cooking, whatever. And so we had no water to wash the deities' plates. So what I did was, it was raining outside, so we had 30 tulsi plants, so I was taking the water from the tulsi pots, that with the rain water from the tulsi pots, and using that to wash the plates of the deities. We couldn't wash the floor. So, yeah, according to time, place, and circumstance, you have to do the worship. And also, Prabhupada appreciated the deity worship in Calcutta because we had a high standard of flower decoration. Every day, I had one man, and he was bringing 50 garlands every day for our deity. So I used to change 5 times a day the garlands. He even came when it was flooded, he put the basket, the water was up to here, and he put the basket of flowers on his head, and he brought the flowers for us. And we had a coolie who was doing our shopping, and he also came with a basket on his head. But the first day we had to fast because we couldn't get out. But so in the flood, then we had to improvise. You couldn't really, you had to do the best you can. So sometimes that happens. So now you have your deities in the sannyas room. It's a little bit like that. Not so bad, though. Not as bad as when we had the flood in Calcutta. And those 2 weeks, we had no electricity, but there were patches of the floor that were electrified. And one was right in front of the deity room. We had to walk on this, and one was in the bathroom. So get this electric shock whenever going in the deity room. But anyway, so deity worship was very exciting. I can tell you so many things that happened, but that was just the highlights. The highlights. We had rats, you know, and we had bigger than the cats, big ones, you know, and cockroaches like this. And when the lights would go off, all the cockroaches would fly and they would land. And one time I had these huge marble plates. Anyway, I had to wait. I had to carry the cockroaches into the deity room with the plates and then take them off. Anyway, it was, you have to, time, place, and circumstance. So we were burning. But Prabhupada was very concerned about cleanliness. As I said, I think I mentioned before, when he saw the ghee lamp was dirty, then he chastised us. And one time, there were like 2 rose petals on the floor in greeting the deities, and Prabhupada said, "Why is it so dirty here?" So we had to go up. Who has done this? You know? And we have to go up and face Prabhupada. So, mostly he would praise us because he really liked the flowers. So another point here. Prabhupada does talk about being satisfied with the prasadam that you get. You shouldn't hanker to satisfy your tongue. Mita buk, atyahara, be careful of overeating. As we heard yesterday about the fish, don't be caught by your tongue. And we say every day the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. At the same time, if we control the tongue, then we control all the senses. Now, again, back to the devotion. Jumuna, she was the original pujari, my god sister, who wrote all the cookbooks. And she one time explained to one devotee the art of devotional cooking. So you'll be interested in this part, because that's part of deity worship. She described how she organized her kitchen and the essential role that cleanliness played throughout the entire endeavor. Like when she was taught by Prabhupada in the early days, if she would just touch something, wash your hands. Scratch your head, wash your hands. Anything like that. And sometimes she would touch her phone. No, they didn't have cell phones. What did she touch? She touched something. Or her watch, I guess it was, to tell the time. Wash your hands. And then she said, "Swamiji, can I go and smoke?" "No." "You can't smoke." That was the first day she joined, you know, she didn't know the rules. So, it was quite an experience for her. But the main thing was the cleanliness. So pots and cookware were constantly being cleaned immediately after use. She didn't like pile them in the sink. And counter space, utensils, everything that could be cleaned was cleaned repeatedly, again and again. Like, she didn't leave anything dirty throughout the day. She couldn't imagine her offering would be accepted by Srila Prabhupada and Krishna if there was even the slightest deviation from this standard. Everything had a place and perfectly belonged exactly where she wanted them to be. She could reach the bhoga, spices, utensils, pots, plates, stove, all in one area as she created one masterpiece after another. At the same time, she had divine chanting tapes of Prabhupada going all the time, without end. So the standard of pure goodness and pure cleanliness, he said, surpassed anything I had previously experienced in any temple, kitchen, or any temple altar. She aspired to be a living example of purity. She taught cooking by pouring attentive love in her every motion, her every touch of the food and the paraphernalia she used in preparing her offerings to the Supreme Lord Govinda. And she recited her prayers and offered everything also. So we can learn from her example. Perhaps in her cookbook she has written something, I don't know, about this level of cleanliness. So you can look that up. So Prabhupada, with the deities, he really liked the flower decoration so much. And the reason I was getting so many flowers was because when I first came there, the dresses weren't very nice, and so I thought, better I cover them so nobody could see the dresses. But then we made like 52 dresses while we were there. So every day we had 144 lotus flowers, 144 roses, besides the garlands we had. And all the, you know, seasonal flowers. We had huge vases of lotus flowers. I used to, every day I would, and at the end when I would take them out of the vase at night, I would smell each one, and I found out there were 6 different smells of lotus. They were really big, like this, like your head almost. It's huge lotuses. And Prabhupada said that's the smile of Krishna, the flowers. So in Calcutta we had one window open in the back, and back of the deities, and bees used to come in every day. So we had, on Radha Govinda's side, we had 2 bumblebees that would come circumambulate Radharani's feet and then go and sit in the lotus flowers. Often I put a lotus flower on Krishna's flute, so he would go and sit on that flower. Then on Jagannath's side, tiny bees would come and sit right on the garlands, just like descriptions of Vaikuntha. Because I was reading 3rd canto, I said, oh, this is just like Vaikuntha. The bees are sitting on the garlands. And they're humming, you know. So their humming is the Sankirtan. They're chanting Kirtan while they're sitting on the garlands. You have to listen carefully to hear it. But Prabhupada said when the bees come to the deities, that means the deities are pleased with the worship. So he told us that. Another time, one artist came to me, Pushkar. Maybe you've heard his name, one of our ISKCON artists. He made many, many paintings. So he came to me because Prabhupada was not satisfied with his paintings. And he said, Prabhupada said, I should take a picture of Radha Govinda from you because he said, you should paint Krishna very young, like that. And he pointed to the picture of Govinda and then he said, so I have to get a picture from you of Govinda. And I saw him like 11 years old, like just the beginning of Kishore age. Very young. So Prabhupada liked that when Krishna looks very young. Now the pujari, of course, should think, what can I do more to please Krishna? Not how fast I can finish this. So in Mayapur, Jananivas, he was... one time we saw how he was offering, you know, water to the there's 1 month where the water drips on the shalagram. Mm-hmm. For 1 month. Mm-hmm. So, and to Tulsi also. So, he didn't just give plain water, but he was shaving sandalwood and putting it in the water so that it would be fragrant and very cooling. So, he thinks of these little details and how to make the deities more happy. It's really nice. So, we shouldn't become mechanical when we do it. deity worship or cooking. When I was the pujari, after some time of dressing Radha Govinda, then I would just go there and I would look at them and I would already see the jewelry and everything on them, and I just put it there. Like, it's kind of like he's already decorated just how he wants to be, and then you just do it. And I felt like I was almost dancing, like when I was, you know, moving like this. So I had 1 hour to dress the deities and bathe them, and then 1 hour I would buy flowers and decorate with flowers. So we had 2 hours, but it was half the time only for dressing. But it's really nice when you actually, it's a meditation. And the pujari, when he goes into the world, he sees the world in terms of that. If he sees some flowers, then he sees, oh, I could put that here, I could put that in Radha on his hand. He doesn't think, oh, let me smell these flowers like other people do. So when he sees cloth, he thinks, oh, that would look really nice. And he sees beautiful cloth. I could decorate Radha Govinda with that. So it's a whole different vision, a way of seeing the world connected to Krishna, because he's the enjoyer of everything. If you see food, you see nice sabji and fruit, you think, oh, Krishna would like that. Let me buy that for Krishna. So it's a whole different meditation there. Now, Prabhupada talks about the deities. I think I might have mentioned this last year in the seminar. And one verse in 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 50, that when the deity glances on you with his eyes, then he increases your desires for devotional service. So if you get the glance of Krishna or Gaudiya, then you might find more desires to serve or inspiration to do something new for them. And the smile protects your desires, so nobody can stop you if you have something to do, something you want to do for them. And so when I was pujari in Calcutta, I felt like, you know, Krishna was, if I didn't feed him, he'd be hungry. And sometimes, you know, in every temple there's fighting and politics. And my husband and I, we were taking care of the deities, and we thought, okay, we're going to kidnap the deities. But we didn't, of course. You feel like, you know, they belong to you. And like I was dressing them. I was dressing Krishna, he was dressing Radharani. And he was going out the whole day and collecting for them, for their clothes, for their jewelry. And I was doing the seva in the temple, responsible for all the seva, whole day. So it was like our first child, Radha Govinda. And then we got a second Govinda, who was in the human form. But Prabhupada said that in Vrindavan, he said, the highest service that a human being can perform is to be a pujari, because although the pujari has a material body, the pujari serves the Lord. Pujari wakes the Lord up, bathes him, dresses, feeds him, and these are activities of the spiritual world. But the pujari does them in this world. This is the perfection of human life. There is nothing higher than being a pujari. If you're a pujari, you've attained your constitutional position, even within samsara. This person is liberated. So I think you have one example of this in your temple, right? Kalpa, what is his name?
Kalpa.
And he lives with the deities, and he's just with them all the time. Yeah, so this is the perfection of human life for him. He's the example of this. So definitely he will go back to Navadvip, in the spiritual world, 100%. Now, of course, we know that to worship Gaudiya is also by the Sankirtan movement, by chanting Harinam. That's the way we worship Krishna in this age of Kali, Yuga Dharma. So if you go out and chant and sell books, also that is, Prabhupada said another thing about that. He said Valmiki used to meditate for 60,000 years, Vishwamitra used to meditate for 60,000 years until he got perfection. He said, but you can get the same benefit by 2 or 3 days on Sankirtan. So we have a nice concession in this Kali Yuga. We've got the deities also, but we've also got the holy name, which is the process of worship for this age. But Prabhupada also said, even though we have the mantra, still the form is important to do deity worship too. So we should not neglect that, as we should do that as well. Five most potent forms of devotional service, and chanting the holy name, doing deity worship, hearing Bhagavatam, Vaishnava association, living in the holy Dham. These are the five. So if you cannot live in the Dham, then you make your house a Dham, or you make your place where you live a holy Dham. So by doing these things very quickly, we go back to Godhead, and we please Krishna by doing these things, and we get ecstatic feelings by doing these things. So Srila Prabhupada has given us a wonderful opportunity. We should take advantage of it and make our life perfect. Do you have any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you very much for the class. My question is that often it's said that one should make the service to the deity like the center of one's life.
Right.
So how do we do it if we are not pujari? How should we conduct ourselves, and how should we think or meditate?
How should we make deity worship the center of our life if we're not pujaris? So the answer is that you make a personal relationship with the deity. Whatever your service you're doing, I think I did it last year that, in the early days, we would have to go up in front of the deity once a week and give our report of what we did the last week. So you go and do that. You can do that personally. It doesn't have to be an official thing. But it's nice if you do that, if you touch base with the deities once a day, once a week. You can even do it once a day. Well, today I met this person on Harinam, or I sold this book to this person. Please help this person advance and become a devotee. So you give your report. Like they have in some temples this in the morning, they have the book distribution scores. So that's just not really so much. And then when you're in trouble, you go to the deity. When you're facing obstacle, then you go to the deities. We did that, I think, last year, some exercises. And when you have something to say thank you about, and that should be part of the report, and thank you for helping me to do this, to overcome this obstacle, to preach to this person, to give some faith to this person, to read the book. So, that's up to you to make your own relationship with the deities. If you get a chance, it's good to do an RT or do something like that once a week, put it into your program if you can. That would be nice. If you're second initiated, then it would be nice to do an RT or some personal service for the deities, just them, or something that you would be inclined to do, not by force. Something that you're attracted to do. It doesn't have to be once a week, once a month, or something like that. But it's good to be to know how to do it. If you have second initiation, it's good to know about deity worship. Prayer is the most important thing, to pray to the deities. Before you're leaving on a trip today, so you can go and pray before you go. That would be very auspicious, because in the Vedic times, before going on a trip, you would go to the superiors and ask them blessings from the superiors to go. And so you can go to the deities and ask for blessings. And like Kunti, Krishna, he was leaving Hastinapur to go to Dwarka, so he went to Kunti to take her blessings. And that's how the prayers of Kunti came. Because he was just going to say goodbye and take her blessings for going, but she didn't give her blessings to go. So he had to stay. And she said, you can't go now. We need you. Don't think that we're safe without you. So there's the Vedic customs. Any other question?
Just came to my mind when you mentioned Kunti. Wasn't it so that Kunti and the Pandavas, they didn't meet Krishna for a very long time, and only after like decades they finally met him, but still they had some a very close relationship with him.
Yes.
So how is that?
How did Kunti have a close, because she was related to him. They were related, they were family. They had family relationship. She was the aunt of Krishna. Her brother Vasudeva was Krishna's father. And she seemed to have visited Braj because she mentioned about Yashoda in her prayers. So it appears that she might have gone to visit Krishna in Braj when he was in Vrindavan. She talked about how the scene of Damodar Leela, she talked about that, so she might have been there, actually. And they were related. They had relationship, a family relationship. Pandavas were cousins. They were cousins of Krishna. So they obviously must have had some relationship, even when they were younger. Yes.
Mataji, could you please explain the meaning of the pranama mantra to Srila Prabhupada and the meditation,
the mantra, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale. Well, he's Krishna Prastaya means very, very dear to Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Vishnu Padaya is a very high term. Let's see how to say it in English. Honorary title, Vishnupad. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. For somebody who is a great acharya, a great preacher, he gets that title, Vishnupadaya. Krishna Prastaya means he's very dear to Krishna. Prashta, very dear. Bhutale, in this world. Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami iti namine, I offer obeisances to him. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Namaste, I offer my obeisances. Disciple of Shimati Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pracharine, preacher of the message of Gaura. Words, Vani is words, Gaura. Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. So Nirvishesha is the impersonalist philosophy without variety. Nir means without and Vishesha means variety. So they say there is no, it's all one. It's all one. So Prabhupada defeated that philosophy, Nirvishesha. That everything is one. He said, no, there is variety. Variety is the mother of enjoyment in the spiritual world. Just because they think their concept of spiritual life is, okay, it's not what we see here in this world. It must be the opposite. So here we see form, we see emotions. It must be without form, without emotion. So nirvishesha, without varieties. Shunyavadi, that's the Buddhist philosophy. Everything is void and null and void. So he defeated that also. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Paschatya means the Western countries, like Finland. And Desha, Paschatya Desh means the Western countries. Tarine means he delivered, he's deliverer of the Western countries. Paschatya Desha Tarine, deliverer. So that's the meaning of the mantra. And the meditation is that how he has delivered us. Gratefulness. Can be very grateful, thankful, and want to do something for him, to repay him. So that is, yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
I'm addressing our listen to murder of Srila Prabhupada, and I was thinking my meditation is just try to make it a nice kind of baka.
Good.
Even my name is more deeper kind of meditation.
Yeah, you can be grateful. Can be, gratefulness is always a good. According to Sachinanda and Swami, gratefulness is the door to go into Radharani's camp. To be grateful is the first symptom of love, prema. It's the first step on the path of prema. It's gratefulness. Yeah, so when we chant in that mood or we do our seva in that mood, it's nice. It's not the only mood. There's many moods. But it's an appreciation, gratefulness. It's a very nice mood to be in. And also to please, to make him happy. That's the best also. let me make you happy, let me please you. And you can read Shrutikirti's book to see the mood of a servant. Not asking anything for yourself, not thinking about your needs or anything, but just wanting to please him. Yeah, anything else? Any other questions? Okay. Is it time for offering?
No, not yet.
Okay. How much time do we have?
How much time do you want?
Okay. If there's no more questions, we can have kirtan. Unless you want to ask, if you want to ask any questions, you can ask.
Can you tell something about...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, he has a question. And then I'll see. Yes?
What is the right mood to worship Shri Radha Krishna?
Well, I was worshipping Radha Krishna for 7 years. What is the right mood? Again, you try to see... You try to please them. But at the same time, you want to make them happy. Yeah, you want to make them happy. At the same time, you want to see how they want to be dressed. Like when I was Pujari, I would just look at them and I would see, oh, he wants like this, like this, like... You meditate. You always meditate on them. So when you're a Pujari, then your meditation is 24 hours a day. So you're always thinking of them. And... So what I would do, because not only did I have the deity worship, I had to be in the temple to protect it, like I was the security guard too. So I had to be in the temple all the time. I couldn't leave the temple. So I would sing a lot to them, bhajans and things of the previous acharyas. So that was a very nice mood. You get the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and these different acharyas who sing for them. Gopinath, there's... Guy, Gora, Madhur, Sware. We had Lord Chaitanya as well. We had Gora Radha Krishna. As I said, he was the first Lord Chaitanya deity in the movement. It was in Calcutta. But the mood for Radha Krishna is selfless, unconditional love, like the mother for the child. You have to be very selfless. And there... Worship comes first. You don't have to any desires. You don't have time to think about yourself much. You just have to worship them and and very careful. Very careful you have to be. Try not to commit offenses. And worship Tulsi also at the same time. So I would also read a lot. I was reading and singing bhajans with them. To them, all these things. That's the mood. Srila Prabhupada, he told us in Calcutta that this deity worship is under the supervision of Radharani, Srimati Radharani. So you're serving Radharani when you do deity worship. So that's another meditation. You're serving Radharani. She's in charge. What does she want you to do? You're her servant. Yes, and what did you?
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe you can tell some anecdotes or something about your relationship with Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it started before I joined. I mean, the day I joined. I mean, it started. Well, I got his books and I was reading, but then. I was hesitating to join the temple because my husband was not so interested as I was. So it was hard. But one weekend we all stayed at the temple. They invited me and some other devotees because Prabhupada was supposed to come. But then the day he was supposed to come, he phoned up and said, I'm not coming, but I'm sending 4 sannyasis instead. So he sent 4 sannyasis and one of them was Vishnu Jan Maharaj. So we were out on Harinam with Vishnu Jan for the weekend. And after that I said, I'm so happy, why should I go home? So I went and said goodbye to my husband and joined. then he joined 2 months later because he was a hippie, and his philosophy was I won't work. So he wasn't. I was working a little, but he wasn't. So after I left, he had to follow his philosophy. He had to join too, and so he joined 2 months later. And but what I understood was that Prabhupada, just by saying he was coming, even though he didn't come, he gave me that push I needed to actually take the step to join the temple. Not only myself, there were four or five who stayed that weekend, and all of us didn't leave. We never left. We joined. And I feel it was Prabhupada, that was the first part of my relationship with Prabhupada. He gave me that push. And he still is giving me that push whenever I need it. Then after that, I got after 6 months in Boston Temple, our temple president, Satsarup, he was a grihastha. That, of course, our temple was amazing. Girash Prabhu, he was our Harinam leader, and we were out 10 hours a day on Harinam with Girash and the crew, 10 in the morning till 10 at night. And then the ISKCON Press was there, so not only were we doing that, I had to, because I knew how to type, so I had to be on the composing machine, typing, typesetting. It was a typesetting machine. We didn't have computers. So he wanted that to go 24 hours a day, so I was on a four-hour shift of that as well. And then the Jai Doita was in charge of the press, of that part. And who else was there? Hridayananda was the temple commander, Hridayananda Maharaj. And Bhavananda was interior decorator. We had, one room was shocking pink, one was purple. The house was purple. The only house in the neighborhood, it was purple and green and orange. It was like, you walk in there, it's like, you know, no place you've ever been. For hippies, you know, we were just... who else was there? He just joined. It wasn't his name yet. I mean, he had some other name. I just had a Karmi name. And Jisadumna Maharaj was a brahmachari too. Suhocha Maharaj, Jisadumna Maharaj. Who? He came later. This was 1970, 71. He came later. It was really amazing. All the artists were there, Jadarani and Pariksit, all of them. And Bhardwaj was leading kirtan. He was a great kirtan leader. And Harinam. So we had a wonderful temple. Hard not to join there. So then Prabhupada, after 6 months of that, of being there, I was a musician. So when 1 month I sold my cello to pay the rent of the temple. Then the next month, Satsarup says, I'm sending you to Florida. So we were in Boston, the northernmost, and Florida was the southernmost. And so how did he send us? He put us on the highway to hitchhike with our yellow sheets. Actually, in those days, the men and women both wore saffron, brahmacharini's sheets. We didn't have saris or dhotis or anything like that. And the married couples wore bright yellow sheets. We were in our yellow sheets, and we didn't have suitcases. We just had some boxes with our belongings, and we were on the road. And who's going to pick us up? We had faith. And sure enough, someone picked us up, and we went. So then after 6 months, the standard was after you're in the temple 6 months, you get initiated. So I was 6 months, so I asked Satsarup Prabhu, and he said, oh, wait for your husband, wait 2 more months. I said, okay. So then I waited 2 more months. Then I said to my husband, okay, let's get initiated. And he says, I'm not ready. I said, okay, forget it. I'm not waiting any longer. I'm going to get initiated. So then I wrote a letter to Prabhupada and said, if you don't initiate me, I quoted second canto, the verse about if you don't get the dust of lotus feet of a pure devotee on your head, then you're like a dead body. So I quoted that, and I said, if you don't initiate me, I'm dead. So he gave me, by mail, you had to make your, actually my beads are still there, they're in that room. You have to string your beads yourself, send them to Prabhupada with a letter, and then he'll send the beads, he'll chant on them and send the beads back with a letter. And he was in India, so it was quite an achievement to get my beads back. And He sent me a letter. In the letter, he gave me 6 instructions. And the first one was to chant at least 16 rounds. And the second, follow strictly regulative principles. And then he said, do deity worship and do preaching, sankirtan, and read and study all the books. So those 5 I have done in my whole life, all the time. But what I was concentrating on the deity worship for 7 years, and then I concentrated on the book distribution, sankirtan, for 7 years. I was first in Calcutta 7 years, Pujari, then 7 years in Bombay, traveling sankirtan, ladies. Traveling sankirtan, and also the... We were the first devotees that people saw in many villages in India. And then after that, I had my son for 7 years, and then he went to Gurukul, and then I started to read and study all the books. But I was always reading the books, but I wasn't studying. So then I started studying and teaching. So that's since 1994. So I did all those, the 1 instruction left to do, and that's 24 hours being engaged. Krishna service. Yeah. Well, when you're, you know, maybe I'll get to do some bhajan someday, you know, like just sit there and chant and whatever. I doubt it, because Prabhupada never retired, so I don't know if we get to either. So, and after that, so I got my initiation letter. Then we were sent to India, 1972. Satsarup again, Prabhu. This time he was Maharaj, I think. Yeah, he took sannyas. And he said to us, I'm sending you to India. We said, how are we going to get to India now? So, because Prabhupada asked for 50 devotees to come to India from every temple. So every temple, we were chosen, 3 of us from our temple, myself, my husband, and Bhagavat Prabhu, were chosen to go to India. And so we went to New York, and they let us collect. We had a pamphlet, this Unchanting Hare Krishna, and we would get 25 cents. And within 3 weeks, we got our tickets to India, 1-way ticket, because Prabhupada told us to go. He didn't tell us to go back, so we just stayed. But only 25 devotees went, and out of the 25, 5 stayed, because it was so difficult in India. Very, very austere. And culture shock, and all that. But for me, it was more like wasn't a shock. It was like going home to where I belong, you know. America, I never felt much at home there. So even as a child, I understood this is not my place. So anyway, yeah, so Prabhupada in India, we saw quite a bit. Oh, my first time I saw Prabhupada was in Gainesville at the airport. And as I mentioned yesterday, they were carrying this huge Vyasa-san down the hall. But my feeling when I met Prabhupada was I was following behind him. We were walking behind him, and he was leading, and I was thinking, I could do this the rest of my life, just follow him. And I felt really at home. I felt, okay, this is where I belong, following Prabhupada. This is my home. This is where I belong. So I had that feeling of finally coming home or reaching, you know, my destination. So when I first met Prabhupada. And then after that, we went to India. And my first time in India was in Vrindavan, and he was speaking on Nectar of Devotion, and lectures on Nectar of Devotion in Radha Damodar Temple. Quite different from now. It was all dust and broken. Like, it looked like somebody bombed it or something. Even the temple itself, it was like crumbling. And in the courtyard, it was just, you know, dust and, you know, broken pieces of cement all around. But we were happy being with Prabhupada, and we thought, well, we're sitting in the same dust as the 6 Goswamis sat. And Prabhupada gave Bhagavatam class in the morning and Nectar of Devotion in the evening. And he gave us a few instructions. We were living in Keshigat, which was, very austere place. He told us not to associate with the Babaji's. That was the first thing he said. Because the we see that the monkeys in Vrindavan, they don't have any clothes, and they're vegetarian, but they have so many she-monkeys. He said, so the Babaji's are like that. Don't associate with them. But we didn't associate with the Babaji's. what else did he tell us? He said if you commit offense in Vrindavan, the next life you'll be a dog, a hog, or a monkey in Vrindavan. But then all the animals in Vrindavan, they're fallen devotees who made some offense, but in this life as an animal, they cannot commit any offense. So therefore, they go straight back to Godhead, because anyone who lives in Vrindavan without offense goes back to Godhead. So they have punishment, but it's a heavy punishment. The monkey life is not happy. When they're young, they lose a leg, they lose an arm because they fight. You know, it's very bad. So don't do that. The dogs too, they're also not very happy in Vrindavan. Only the hogs are happy, except then now they're taking them for slaughter in Delhi, so they're not happy either. I mean, they're happy while they're, you know, alive, but then they may not die in Vrindavan, actually. Yes? You have a question? No. Well, you can ask it now if you want.
Aditi, you mentioned you were distributing yourself 7 years books and like that, so...
Yeah.
Could you a little elaborate, how do you see women's role in the modern state? We don't, somehow or other, don't see... that kind of a distribution going on there. So is it still possible? What is needed to...
Yeah, it's going on. The women are distributing in Vrindavan. Yeah. And they go traveling too. In Agra, they go to Agra. Yeah. It's still happening. I mean, the biggest, they have the men's party and the women's party in Vrindavan temple. Mm. And the women are like, they do three times as much.
Very well.
They do much more than the men. It's all these old Russian ladies. Yeah. Old ladies. And they can't even speak English, and they can't speak Hindi, but they're very good. And there was one lady who recently left her body. She was from South America, old lady. She was doing book distribution in Vrindavan, just right in the temple, right. And but one night, some dacoits got her and beat her, and she was. After that, she was had a broken hip and everything, and so she couldn't. She still came and distributed. So it was. But then one day, she came from distribution. She went to her house where she lived, and she asked somebody to help her bring some buckets of water up. And they said the whole time she lived there, she never asked anybody for help. So that day she asked them, and then she sat down in the chair, chanted her Gayatri, and she left her body. So, like that. Yeah, it's going on. It's going on in India. In India, it's going on quite a bit. When I was there, all the pujaris were women in India, too, except for Jananivas. He was the only one. And one time he invited me on the altar to show him how to dress Radharani. So now they even go on the altar for the deity worship program. They go on the altar, the women dress one day for as a test, exam for their deity worship. At one point... when Prabhupada was here, they sent all the women to the farm, and Prabhupada said, why have you done this? Let them go and distribute books. The role of women, time, place, and circumstance, you have to see the culture, but even in India, it's going on. I would say the Indian culture is much more into these things than ISKCON. I'd say the Indian culture is way ahead, actually. Not the Vedic culture. The Vedic culture... I don't know. But, if you go back in the history to Krishna's time, then when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, then she had to drive the chariot while he was fighting. So they knew how to do these things, you know, the Kshatriya ladies. But, and one time one of the ladies questioned Prabhupada, you know, how is it that, you know, I'm supposed to be really humble at the temple and shy, and when I go out I'm supposed to be, you know, so extroverted and meet people. And he said, yeah, you're a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. So, and as I read yesterday, I mentioned Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya has sent these women to save the conditioned soul. So the training is there to be chaste and humble and to serve your husband. And at the same time, we do the needful to preach Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So, but if you're finding that they're losing their chastity or something, then that person should not do that. They should be careful. If you find that, you know, it's too disturbing, then they should not do. the role of the women basically is to follow authority. It's the role of everyone, actually. We all have to follow authority. And we have to see the time, place, and circumstance as well. There is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that says that one who gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he can be a guru. And it listed, you know, the lame, the blind, the women, the children, they can all be guru if they get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada, and later on there were some more verses and purports, he says in our ISKCON we are doing this. But we are engaging everyone according. And I think she just gave a presentation yesterday. So I think in this culture, it's important that they see that women can also read and write, and, you know, like the Western ladies, and do all these things. At the same time, be an example of, I was telling the ladies yesterday that the best way for a woman to be in ISKCON is to be herself and not to try to be like a man. This is what my advice was. Because you can't do it. Number one, you can't do it. And number two, you'll just get trouble. And so that's how I try to be myself. I keep my own nature. One time I was in Vrindavan Temple, and there was this one heavy lady, a feminist kind of, and she was telling me, you know what, you should go at Guru Puja time in front of all the men and offer obeisances. And I said, I can't do that. I said, and she said, yeah, you have to do it for the women. I said, well, you know what I'm doing? I'm teaching 15 brahmacharis bhakti shastra right now. I think that's more than going and offer obeisances in front of the men. Because I just don't like to be in the front. I'd rather be in the back. And it's not my nature. And another time when there was talk about me, you know, being on the list for guru, then one of the ladies, leaders, told me, okay, now you have to go and have a debate with all the Indians and defeat them. And I said, sorry, it's not me. I don't do that. I said, I'll write my name down and say, okay, you win. Because, you know, it's not who I am. And I think it's better to be a mother than to be anything else. And that's who I am. I'm a mother, you know, and that's appreciated. And that's how you're supposed to see the women, is as a mother. So that's what I say. And at first, you know, I went through a phase where, you know, I was like, not so happy and this and that. And then I realized, well, actually, you can't change other people. You can only change yourself and be an example. So I decided, okay, I'm going to be an example. And it works. That's what works. So I try to be an example of a mother. And I mean, I'm doing all this traveling and everything, but it's Prabhupada's pushing me. I'd be very happy to sit with my books somewhere and read and by myself, but it's not meant to happen. It's needed. Because, there is a role, there is a need for women to be an example. Because the women, they tell me, I can't tell this to my guru, you know. He's a sannyasi, so I can't say these things. But we can help them with those things, too. That they can't tell their authorities who are men. Yeah. So like that. So then I was doing book distribution. But it was... In India, it's different, you know. It was different. We just went to a village, set up our table, and people would just come. We don't have to do anything. And just sell the books like that, like having a book table. And they would just come and buy 10, 20, 5, you know, how many they wanted, because we were giving very cheap price, 10 rupees, 11 rupees a Gita in those days. It was very, very cheap. Now I'm in, you know, so many things are going on around me, but I'm just whatever Prabhupada wants, whatever, if the devotees give me blessings, and I do whatever Prabhupada's desire. So let's see. And I was talking about deity. Oh yeah, just being go ahead.
Because they, like you said, being a woman, like we have been stressing that aspect and kind of but the history, like here in Finland, it's more like, you know, that, I mean, when we join the ladies, the best book distribution is a mom, but they treat it like a man.
Yeah.
But then later the whole thing was thrown out like a baby with the blood.
Yeah.
And but still, now there's a difference. We have even more ladies than that time, and they are treated as women. But still, I can consider there could be another step as well.
Yeah, they could do book distribution also. But they have to, you know, be, just be careful.
Yes.
You know, be as, don't lose the womanly qualities. I'm sure they would, you know, usually the women do better, as Prabhupada said, because people like to approach the women much easier. They could do, you just have to find a way, you know. In America they do, they have, they go out with tables, like, tables.
It seems to be when it's an own environment. Like we said, Vrindavan, but it's their temple.
Yeah, they're
so
in the temple.
So they protected like that.
Yeah,
they're
directly
trying to stop. Maybe sometimes they will.
It would be good to have like a Grihastha man or something.
Yeah.
Like that, you know. The Grihasthas go out in America.
Yeah.
And then the women go with them too. And some are independent still, you know, some American single ladies, but yeah, a lot of them, the Grihasthas go, it's like a whole party and everybody goes together like once a month.
Yeah.
All the Grihasthas, all the ladies, they just go like, Vaisheshika has this thing. They call it Weekend Warriors.
Yeah, Weekend Warriors. Like that. It seems to be for the women, it's not like, you know, 7 days or 6 days.
No.
It's like a few days.
Yeah.
But still it keeps the...
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to do it. But then you just, you know, have to make sure they're protected.
Mm.
Like in the past, they weren't protected at all. They would get beaten up, thrown in jail, and so many things. So now, of course, our movement has grown. So yeah. You have a controlled environment at the university. Also, would be good at the university, which is a more controlled environment. And it would be nice, like once a month or once a week or something like that. I don't know if Shirati would agree.
When she was planning to come now here, she was herself supposed to be with all the girls one day out.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, she likes it. It's just that many different varieties they may emphasize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah, you have somebody to be there. Oh, good. That's nice. Yeah, the role in ISKCON is, you know, we're part of the preaching movement, so... But to be good to be used in that way, and it's very successful. Like Vrindavan, in India, they're doing it, in Indian culture.
You know, when I was at TP, so we had all the time the ladies distribution group. Those there, of course, it required as many hours there out. It required the backup of the group president to keep it. Like
right.
And protection and all that stuff. But I mean, it was not like that. It was productive also in many different ways. It's just that then. Meanwhile, we recognized, you know, this ladies' aspects and this ladies' training and this kind of things.
Right.
It's kind of now we are like, how would I say, let's make like that ladies' group in a lack of the facilities also. It's a little, I could say passive, but it's not like, you know, the energy and everything is, there's not so many places to really. Into the proper direction.
Right.
So when we are getting the facilities, of course, many other services will be there available.
Good.
But still saying the point that this aspect has been somehow or another now. Not only we had a EuroTBC meeting now, it's all Europe the same thing.
Oh.
Quite much. There was a lot of discussion about book distribution and what was
As far as I remember, they were telling me the ladies, they bought Almvics from the ladies' collection.
Yeah.
They bought all the big temples, and so it was. They did quite a bit.
Yeah.
So how to do it in the proper way now?
Yeah.
You know, before it was improperly done. Now we can do it properly. That's all. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yes.
Were there many successful lady Buddhist leaders?
Oh yeah, they were the mostly many, so many. Mula Prakriti, she was one, and she would. There's another one, and she's still doing. Now she doesn't distribute. She's my age in Florida. Narataki Gopal, she was very big, and she knew so many languages: Chinese, Japanese. You know, for everybody who came to the airport, she knew a language. She would know a few lines just to get them to take a book: Spanish, German, French. She knew so many, so many. Yeah, it was very big. It was very big. So many. I can't count, you know. Yeah.
I was thinking when you said you did 10 hours Harinam day after day and week after year.
Except Sunday we didn't go out, we had the feast.
And then year after year. So how is it possible to have so much enthusiasm for Harinam? Mm-hmm.
By doing it. When you chant, then you get it. You get it from the holy name. It just comes. You forget everything. Forget this world, you forget. I didn't do it for so long, only 6 months. Then they sent us to Florida. So Florida, it was just a few hours a day. But in Boston, it was, in New York, I think in the big cities, it went on for some years. Because when you do it, you get a taste. You really get a taste. It's so nice. We were out in the snow and it was just crazy. And we would forget our shoes, you know, in the snow and before we went out. We were young too. It was adventure. The whole thing was a big adventure. And going to India was another adventure. No, it's still going on, adventure. But, from chanting you get the enthusiasm because it's so nice. And then Prabhupada, I think we just got it from the chanting and everybody was very enthusiastic. So, everybody was very enthusiastic. In fact, we didn't stop outside. When we would come to the temple, If prasadam was late, we would all chant and dance waiting for prasadam. I remember that. Just chanting and dancing all the time, you know, just in our spare time. We would do it. We just chant and dance, you know. And I remember that, waiting for prasadam and dancing and chanting. It's like a way of life.
But it sounds you didn't have so much time to do the other things like washing cloth and like that.
I don't remember how we did that, you know. I just... Yeah, we did it. We had no time. We were sleeping 4 hours there, too. I think. Pretty much. Yeah, we didn't have time somehow for anything. But somehow we managed. I don't know how we managed. I remember in Calcutta when I was pujari, making hot water. We had these big, huge coal stoves, so overnight I would put a pot on and then I would get hot water for the morning. That's just because there was no hot water. Yeah. But, we didn't think about it much. I don't even remember what we did. And there was only one bathroom for like 20 ladies or more, 25, 30. And one for 30 men. We all live in the temple. How do we do it? I think it's like when you're a child and you don't know how you're being taken care of. Like Prahlad Maharaj, you're like, somehow everything's being taken care of. Because you're certainly not doing it. You don't know. Didn't know what was going on, really. We were chanting. Now it's very formal. 12-hour kirtan. 12-hour. They're doing also 12-hour harinam. One day, you know, like in a month or somebody comes. They did 12-hour harinam. But Yeah, any other questions, comments? Prasadam is ready to be offered?
Yes.
Okay. So, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Next year I'll tell you more about Prabhupada. He didn't tell you anything yet.